Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular spiritual metaphysical radio shows in the world, with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. On today's show, from now to 2:30 p.m. approximately, I'll be talking about my new online radio show starting on BBS Radio out of San Francisco, in addition to my show here on KKNW. That new show starts on June 20th. Then from 2:30 p.m. or so to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful aura reader and psychic named Carolyn White, who will be talking about a new diamond-shaped eighth chakra that's been forming as part of the ascension. She has incredibly, incredibly interesting and positive things to say. I'm so looking forward to talking to her. Then the following hour, from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be interviewing Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. She's always a lot of fun to talk to, and she'll be sharing her wisdom on how to make this world a much better and happier place. I wanted to tell everyone that starting June 20th, I'll be having a new online show in addition to my show here on KKNW. It'll start on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific time on BBS Radio out of San Francisco. The new website will be bbsradio.com/out of this world radio. You can go to my website next week, and there will be a live listen button at outofthisworld1150.com, and click on it. BBS Radio is heard in over 200 countries, and this will give me a chance to spread my spiritual message for making the world a better place. My new show will start on Saturday, June 20th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific time. And Simon Parks will be my first guest on the show on Saturday, June 20th. Next week, on Saturday, also on that same day, from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., I'll also be giving a presentation at the Sixth World Conference of Peace and Light in Tijuana, Mexico. They'll have presenters from all over the world. It's an online conference. And if you'd like to participate, please go to their website at www.paxluxmonday.com. That means Peace and Light Conference. Or you can email them at paxlux@gmail.com. They're wonderful people, and I can't wait to participate and give a presentation. If you missed my Galactic Wisdom Conference in March, the entire conference is available now on Crowdcast for just $50. To get to the link, you just go to my Galactic Wisdom Conference at www.galacticwisdomconference.com and just click on it. You can still see some of the world's most famous and wonderful spiritual healing and UFO people, including Alex Collier, Simon Parks, James Redfield, Michiko Hayashi, as well as the famous Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington on the fourth phase of water. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Sol and Kirkland for their wonderful support, and my wonderful friends Jessica and Randy in Mercer Island, Louise in Bellevue, Mary and Elias in beautiful Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma, of course, in London, England, Dan and Ursula in Switzerland, and Jan, Eric, and Emma Louise in Norway, and Tom Palladino, and everyone around the world who supported the show and helped me raise consciousness. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I'm giving free promotional advertising to all small businesses affected by the shutdown. If you'd like to have some free advertising, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful contributions for food and clean water for the Hopi. We've collected about 2,000, a little over 2,000 so far, and 100% of this money has gone for food for the Hopi on the reservation in Arizona. I want to especially thank Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, for her efforts in raising money, as well as Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation in Seattle. Leon negotiated with a manufacturer to manufacture these clean water filters for the Hopi at their cost, which was $125. He's a wonderful man, done such good work, as well as, of course, Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network and Ernest Tau of the Hopi Indian Tribe on our efforts to raise money for food and clean water for the Hopis. If you'd like to contribute your donations by PayPal, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can email me for more information at out of this world, 1150@gmail.com. I also want to tell you that Janice Churchill of Healthy Biosolutions in the Seattle area is also helping to raise money to buy shungite to help the Hopi clean their drinking water. Shungite's an amazing material, mineral, which can take toxins out of water. So far, she's raised over $600. And if you'd like to donate to her effort as well, please email her at info@healthybiosolutions.com, or you can call her at 425-358-0611. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, and of course, KKNW and Eric, who helps, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your guides, please email me anytime at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. I've extended my special offer for readings, and the cost now is just $50 for a full hour reading. And if you'd like a good reading, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I will also be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we've recently been experiencing many miracle healings. My eyesight was actually restored to perfectly clear, crystal clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year, after Adam and the people of Telos gave me a healing, and others have been healed as well. The cost is just $200, and it pays for camping and other costs. And if you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In July of 2019, Admiral Halosaurus, the Pleiadian commander of the 2 million Pleiadian ships now circling the Earth, beamed himself down from his mothership and visited all of us at our campsite in Mount Shasta. They said they were helping us here with the ascension, and he said he will be with us next month at Mount Shasta in July. So if you'd like to meet him, please come. Also, Mount Shasta, my guides tell me, has shifted into the fifth dimension. So when we visit Mount Shasta in 3 weeks, we'll be visiting a new fifth-dimensional place at Mount Shasta. In the fifth dimension, all the colors will be much brighter. People will be able to communicate telepathically, and we should be able to enter into the hollow Earth and visit Telos as long as your vibrations are high and you're not negative. So it should be a fun trip. My Peru trip has been postponed to October 10th to the 28th, and I'll be taking a small group of people there later this year to visit some of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu, Lake Titicaca, the Nazca Lines, and Paracas, as well as meeting local Inca shaman. If you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and the cost is only $497 with airfare and accommodations extra. Costs are very reasonable in Peru. The accommodations during my last trip cost anywhere between $7 and $25 a night. So, and I hope you can come on this wonderful spiritual trip. Now, I'll be interviewing Carolyn White. She's a fantastic reader and a chakra expert who will be talking about the ascension and the new eighth chakra, diamond-shaped, that is now evolving with the ascension on top of many people's heads. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm here, Ted. Good afternoon to all of your beautiful listeners out there, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, sure. Now, before we start, I want to give out your website, because people, if I don't do it now, I'm liable to forget, and then I'll get off the air, and then I'll get a bunch of emails saying, wow, we really enjoyed Carolyn, but how do we reach her? So her website is https://chakracoach.me. That's C-H-A-K-R-A, coach, coach.me/about/. So,
and also I have another site that's just quite simply www.carolynwhiteph.com.
Okay, great. Now, Carolyn, you and your husband Jerry do a lot of readings, and you are readings and aura photography for years. And one thing fascinating is that you've begun to notice, or maybe you noticed it last year, the year before, a new chakra evolving above people's heads, like an eighth chakra. Because normally, according to the literature and other psychics I've talked to, there are seven chakras, but there's a new eighth diamond-shaped chakra. And I think my listeners would be fascinated to hear about that. Could you explain that a little bit, please?
Exactly, Ted. One of the things that we, with our system, and just to give a little bit of background, we have an aura and chakra imaging system that actually reads the meridians, microvoltages along the meridians of your body, and all the meridians are associated with the seven major chakras. Within the body, there's the major chakras, minor chakras. There's about 72,000 points that are called chakra nadis, and the ancients knew about this energy. And one of the things that we've noticed, because in our the system, not only can we see what these seven major chakras are, how they're functioning, whether they are processing the incoming energy, whether they are working as a team together, we can see kind of the health of the body, mind, and spirit. Each chakra has, it's interdimensional, so it shows physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. But one thing we've been noticing, and probably about the last, I'd say three to four years, and we've been doing it with this system for over 15 years now, that there's been like an eighth chakra that is, let's say, lighting up, that is above the crown chakra. And we refer to this as like the star soul chakra, star seed chakra. And whether it's been that the people that have been coming to us are on a spiritual quest, on the path of ascension, that we're seeing this just on a regular basis within the last couple of years, that we didn't see when we started 15 years ago, we saw maybe out of every 20 people, we maybe saw one or two people that had this energetic configuration. So I think that and again, at least the people that are coming to us in the different fairs and events that we've done, is that they are definitely on a path of ascension, of raising their vibration, of their consciousness. Because in order for that eighth chakra to be activated, all the chakras need to be having their energy flowing. I like to think of the chakras as a team. When, you know, if you're playing a game or anything, you have like in baseball, if your team is firing on all cylinders and everything is just going well, if one team member is weak or they're not feeling well or something's going on with it, the other team members can't function as well. So I think this is a testament to the people that at least that we've been working with, that they have this energy flowing and they're connecting with it. And it's just, it's been very encouraging to see that over the last couple of years.
Fascinating. Now, we're slated to go into the fifth dimension. And if you were to meet somebody from Telos, for example, Carolyn, and you did their aura reading, would you probably see this eighth chakra on top of their head, diamond shaped? This is speculation, but I'm just curious, because they are fifth dimensional beings.
Actually, we would probably see a lot more than the eighth. We'd probably see the eighth. We would also see almost like a stream of stars above them that I referred to, that there's 72,000 kind of points that are incidentally not only within the body but outside of the body in our aura, and it would be like there would be such beautiful pulsing of light and energy from these beings. One time I had a client, we were dealing with a type of crystal, and she was a very in tune person. She actually, with our electrical equipment started sending things just totally off the charts. So theoretically speaking, if we could sat down with one of the Talosians, I'd probably find that they would send our equipment off the charts.
Oh, how interesting. How funny. Well, this is an exciting time because, you know, I mean, having a new chakra, all the chakra, you know, diagrams I've ever seen have only have seven chakras. So they're going to have to add now an eighth chakra to people as we ascend.
Well, there's actually, it's interesting because if you look at history, there's in a lot of the Hindu literature, they've talked about six chakras and the crown, which technically the crown from a more of a nerve ganglia point of view is not, and I say this loosely, connected to the spine. So a lot in the Hindu literature, they looked at six. We're getting, even in certain systems, we're seeing the heart chakra is actually, two different centers. And I know one of my mentors, Doreen Virtue, spoke about this about 20 years ago. Even in human design, they talk about that. And even with the solar plexus chakra, which is our sense of personal power and our ego, that even that is in human design split into two distinct centers. So in some respects, as we're evolving, we've gone beyond the eighth and we're ninth, tenth. So there's these energy centers, we're becoming more and more aware of them and how they can help us connect with our higher selves, connect with all that is, connect with the universal energy, because really all we are coalesced energy. We're mm-hmm. vibrating at certain frequencies. And I've always, in my studies, because I've been studying this stuff for probably about over 45 years now, this energy is moving along these pathways, what we would call prana or chi, mm-hmm. and these meridians, these 72,000 nadis or meridians. And I think the thing is that what the chakras actually are, and I'll put a plug in for people to go to the Galactic Wisdom Conference online, because I have a very, I was one of the speakers, and I have a diagram of how the chakras work in one of my presentations that I did. But in essence, what happens is that we are, our higher self acts as kind of the perfect soul, the prism from this source energy. And the chakras are like transceivers. They receive this energy and they create our body form. And each chakra has, each of the seven major chakras has a certain function in creating this body form. But the reason I say they're transceivers is because this information is actually being sent back. And that is how, in my kind of theory and exploration of things, is how the Akashic records actually are written, from the information that comes off our chakras.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, for my listeners who don't know anything about the Akashic records, what are they and how can one access those records?
The Akashic records are, there's varying takes on this, but basically each soul that incarnates in each incarnation, there is a record of your lifetime. And this record is stored, and in order to access those records, there's many techniques for doing this, some through meditation. I've worked with several people that actually have a series of prayers or vibrations that they, words, and they're using with tuning forks. But it's the intention of accessing these records. I've accessed them in my dream, but basically everything that everyone has done is stored in a in another density or another dimension. And that's a whole nother program about getting into what Akashic records are and accessing them. It's interesting, and it's something that from my own personal experience and reading about Damien Brinkley, is that people that have had near-death experiences, everything that has happened to them, they experience it, but they also experience it from the other person's perspective. So like when Damien Brinkley's case, he was a sharpshooter in Vietnam, and he experienced what it was like to be at the other end of his rifle.
Oh my goodness.
And so with this information, and this is where it is stored, so when you do have that life review, it is it's made available, but you see it from the other person's point of view.
Let me tell you a conversation I had with Danian. I think it was in Los Angeles. No, was it last year or this year? I can't remember. It was down at the Conscious Life Expo in February. And he told me, he used to me, he wasn't a very nice man when he was young man. But it took him something like three near-death experiences to become a nicer man. It was fun listening to it. Because he met God each time, and they keep sending him back saying, you've got more work to do. And he said, oh my gosh, my body's not feeling well, and I feel terrible. But okay, here I go. And I think he was electrocuted at least once in a lightning storm.
Yes.
And he came close to death like three or four times. I got three times. And but now he's a very pleasant man, but it took him three life near-death experiences to become a nicer man. And I would hope people don't have to go through three life experiences to become a nicer person. I mean, it's just, it was a tough lesson for him, but he did go, and that's what you do. You experience everything you've ever done to anybody, not only from yourself, but also from their perspective. And that includes animate objects, yes, like humans, and inanimate objects like a rock or a tree or a bird. Anything.
Yes.
You experience that from the other side.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty amazing spiritual way too to go. That's one thing in my own life. I feel very grateful that my foster mother, Terry, gave me so many life review readings, that she, you know, helped me understand what when you do something, it's more than just yourself. You also have an impact, of course, on your media environment and many different things. And if you can get that life review, if you can understand how that's affected the world and other people and living and non-living things, it can really help in your spiritual evolution.
Oh, for sure. Well, and you know, Ted, one of the things that I learned early on, and I teach, in fact, I have a section about it in my book, which is Chakra Mastery, Seven Keys to Discover Your Inner Wisdom, that is goes through the your auras and what your chakras are and how to really bring the energy up, because each chakra has a what I call a higher octave, a master path, and a lower octave or the student path. And if you want to have a very good life review when it's time to pass, the best thing to do on a daily basis is in the longer form of Ho'oponopono, because with the longer form, which I learned, she's probably about 25 years ago, studying ancient Hawaiian Huna, that what you're doing is that you do a mini life review every day. And it's best to do this at night. You want to be free of interruptions. And just sort of as a condensed version, you imagine that there's a stage, and you put people up on the stage, or events, or objects, and you and they could be anything that comes to mind. It could be a person, living, deceased, and you ask each object, person, if they support your magnificence.
Oh, okay.
And if you look for congruency in their answer, so that if the response is an immediate yes, not a, oh, well, a hawing yes, then you thank them and then you let them exit the stage.
Okay.
You can send them with love and light. So if the answer is no, then there is definitely healing required. So anyone that answers no, ask them to remain on the stage, and then invite a white light that's the infinite source of love and healing to envelop all of those on stage. And that you want to state your intention that is to ask for forgiveness. And one of the things that happens, and this is a very important point with working with energy, is that and as you're probably aware of this, is that any time that you have a thought, that the thought has power. Teachers of mine used to say thoughts have wings. So if you're thinking of another person, anytime that thought occurs in Huna, it creates what's called Akka connections, which is kind of an energetic thread between people. And I've actually seen these connections, and they go more around the solar plexus and the sacral area of the chakras. And what happens is that if you have a good loving thought, those connections are very good, loving, positive, and they bring you good energy. And yet, if it's a negative thought, if it's filled with hate or anger, then that is not resourceful for you, and it just kind of feeds that energy. So basically, what you're doing is that you're asking, your attention asks for forgiveness, and you envision these Akka cords radiating out like from your sacral chakra, solar plexus, and then you take whatever works for you, a laser gun, scissors, a silver sword, a lightsaber, and you cut those connections. And then once you cut the connections, it frees you from these obligations, the energy, and then you send the, you seal the end with love and light, and you send that person off in love and light. I mean, that's basically a Reader's Digest condensed version of a process that takes about 15 minutes. But the thing is that if you do this every night, then anything that comes up, is you're going to energetically resolve it. And I have taught this over the years. I have people come back to me and say, you know, I was having a terrible issue with my mother-in-law, and I, did this over a couple of nights, and it was amazing. A week later, she came and she was just all nice and loving and smiles and didn't bother me at all.
Well, one of the things you can do, and it works too, absolutely. One of the things you can do too, if you think you're going to be dealing with a negative person going to a meeting, is to do the hue, which is, I'll just repeat it for everybody. It's the H-U in human, and it goes like this. Hue. Isn't that nice and calm and
yes.
peaceful? Do that 3 or 4 or 5 times. And if you're going to meet, if it's potentially someone difficult, this is just a joke, but let's say you're pulled over on a traffic stop, do that before you talk to the officer.
It's interesting because I did a, again, this is at your conference, we did the hue. And that's another thing that with the chakras, that, and then maybe if we have time, I can go over that particular, I'd call it player size because you have fun. But I have used that and I've demonstrated that. I think I even have a video on one of our websites where my energy is, I've been driving around coming off of I-5 or something, and it's like, and I sit down at our aura and chakra imaging system, and I see my energy is kind of all over the place, and I sit there and I do the hue, and demonstrating that within a minute my energy is just nicely coalescing, it is integrated, and so that's another thing too. If you're feeling, like you said, if you're feeling off or you're angry or whatever, is just to bring that hue in, like hue for human. And it is just, it is such a balancing, integrating vibrational energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's there's a whole spiritual universe out there. And I know you know this book called, what's it called? Urantia? Have you heard of the book Urantia? It's a fascinating book, over 2,000 pages long.
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. I've looked through the book. Have you read it, Caroline? I mean, it's a big
book. I haven't read all of it. It's one of those things like Manly P. Hall's book that...
Right.
Wisdom of all ages.
Right.
You know, it's like you're drawn to a section, you open it up and you start reading it.
Right, right. Well, that book, for those interested in spiritual and learning more about the spiritual side of things and the spiritual universe, that is a fascinating book. It was channeled, I think, back in the early 50s, they say, by benevolent extraterrestrials. And it talks about in a complete spiritual universe, different hierarchies, different angels. It's kind of a roadmap to the spiritual universe, because there's a whole universe of spirits and angels beyond this third dimension here that it's just fascinating. And that's a good book to get, too. It's called the Urantia book.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is, I think anything, Ted, and this is that brings us to the awareness, and I say us collectively, that we are more than our physical bodies. I mean, this is the thing that Jerry and I, what we love going out and doing is giving the people experience to see that they are more just the flesh and bones. And also, it is an affirmation, because when you see how energy works, when you see that what anger, what grief, the different areas in your chakras, because each chakra responds probably greater to different emotions, feelings, and what you can see that what you're thinking, what you're feeling impacts your body, your energy field.
Could you go over each chakra for people that don't know anything about chakras, please?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
okay,
start at the first one and just kind of move up to the top.
Okay. Well, we have the root chakra, and the root is just exactly what it's the root, and it's I embrace my soul lesson of courage, tenacity, and patience. Its color is red, and it has to deal with your right livelihood, where you're living, how you able to manifest things. It's your passion in life, courage, vitality. Those are all master paths, higher octave, higher vibration. If you're ungrounded, that's a lower octave. Money issues a lot of times are in the root chakra. Aggression, anxiety, depression, fear, rage are all of the lower octave of the root. Then there's the sacral chakra. And the sacral is, I embrace my soul lesson of forgiveness. Its color is orange, and it is roughly... it's kind of in the belly area between And again, it's more of a virtual, not an actual physical, although you can sense the energies in these the different locations. But basically, the sacral is about your relationships. It is the seat of your emotions. It is also one of the things that it's your creativity. That's a higher octave. Satisfaction, sensuality, trusting, faith. It's good in a way, a tribal kind of that you belong, because it is relationship with others. Lower octave is not honoring your true nature. Resentfulness, overindulgence, a lot of issues with the lower octave and the sacral chakra are related to addictions.
If someone, for example, is in an abusive relationship, could the sacral chakra be harmed as a result? And have you seen that, for example?
Well, if they're in, what's happening is that, again, it's energy. So the energy is diminished in an abusive relationship. There's it would be the sacral and also the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus are all physical chakras. And it's could be one of the aspects of it. There's an abusive relationship. There's numbers of different causes. Could be because of lack of self-worth, which is the solar plexus. It could be a lack of self-esteem, which is the sacral. It could be feeling like you don't belong, which is the root chakra. So there would there's no kind of one answer to that. There's all different kind of permutations of different people with that why they let their energy go into an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. It's just interesting. Yeah. Of course. And then the opposite question too is if someone is in a very good mood and they're very happy and laughing a lot, does that exhibit itself and those positive emotions exhibit themselves in the chakras as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is the thing we see all the time with, in fact, one of the most positive kinds of yoga to do is laughing yoga. My friend Shelley Stockwell Nicholas, who's been on your program, she likes to refer to the crown chakra as the clown chakra, because all of the things that are the higher octave, the higher vibration energy, are all involved with joy, love, celebration, and one of the best ways to, you know, vitalize your whole chakra system is by laughing, by smiling and laughing. And it's just another thing that came to me is that when I've dealt with energies that people have deemed to be less than savory, like a different ghost, or the best way to get rid of them is to laugh and be joyful.
Okay.
So anyway, solar plexus, getting back to the climbing up the chakra ladder here, this is the whole lesson of self-worth. The color is yellow. It is the fire. It is your seat of your personal power. I am worthy. I have positive self-esteem, my image. I'm thinking, this is where critical thinking and logic lies. It's being in touch with your gifts, open to new ideas. Lower octave is self-condemnation, lack of confidence. I find a lot of people that have a lot of yellow in their aura, and also with issues with the solar plexus, the imbalance of energy, to be people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even perfectionist. egotistical, judgmental. Solar plexus chakra is a interesting one, because our society as a whole, our planet in its evolution, is moving out of the what Caroline Miss refers to as the solar plexus, or the third chakra, into the heart chakra, which is love. But what happens is that at a lower octave, you're judgmental. Like, this is, you know, this is good, this is bad. Mm-hmm. This is better than me, this is lesser than me, instead of coming out and saying, being discerning and saying, is this for my highest good?
Sure. That's good advice. Yeah.
And then the heart, which mm-hmm. is compassion, it's self-love. Mm-hmm. It's caring, it's generosity, it's selflessness, devotion, discerning, again, acceptance. The heart's all about our immune system,
mm-hmm.
because that's where the thymus gland is. And each one of the chakras also is mentioned on it, but there's a endocrine gland associated with them. This is your lungs. The thing is that in order to really get that the heart open, you need to fill those lungs with nice air and breath. And you see a lot of people in life, their shoulders are kind of hunched over and closed chest. This physically is actually closing off the heart chakra. It's a good idea to, you know, like, keep your shoulders back and low, sit up straight, and take those nice deep belly breaths and bring that air in. Mm-hmm. And the lower octave of the heart chakra is paranoid, hatred, overly critical. You feel sorry for yourself, codependence, looking at, you know, you not setting boundaries. And like I said, heart is so important for the immune system, because if you keep that heart closed off, and you're not getting your lungs filled with this beautiful, nice prana, energy, chi from the breath, mm-hmm. then you can have heart and lung problems. Probably one of the biggest killers of people is heart disease.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. If someone, I got to ask you this question. If someone feels like they didn't get enough love in their life, and caring and nurturing, can that translate into heart disease, Carolyn?
It can, if you make the choice to do so. And the thing is okay. that you can, again, it's like transforming the energy, because energy just is. It's how we interpret it. If we believe something, then we'll perceive it, and then it lends itself to that experience. So if we have a rough childhood, and I've dealt with a lot of people that have, if they understand that and they go through the process of forgiving and saying, at the time my mother or father or whoever were working with the best that they knew what to deal with, I forgive them, and then love themselves, because that's really what it's all about. Before you can love another person, you need to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, if you've been in those situations, it can be a challenge. And we're all powerful sovereign beings, and you have the choice of taking action and loving yourself, moving to that higher energy vibration. You know, again, lower octave heart, poor me. You know? Mm-hmm. Or you can say, I am a beautiful, loving person. I have compassion. But in order, though, to have that, it's really, again, it's like connecting moment to moment to realize that we have guidance in what you want to refer to as our angels, our higher self. And that, again, gets to the point of we need to realize we are more than just three-dimensional physical beings.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I've heard before, and I want to ask you about this, is that the aura itself or the life force goes out like 30 or 40 feet. So that if you walk into a room and there's somebody else there, that person can pick up on you through their through your spiritual energy, even though they may not see you. Is that true?
Oh, definitely. And we've shown this to people with their on the aura and chakra report, that just how far at any given time, because it can be changed, that how far the energy goes out. Conversely, you can also draw your energy in, and people won't, you know, it's almost like you can become invisible. So, again, it's one of those things that it's your choice. You do have control over that.
Right, right. Okay, all right. Tell us some fun stories where you've read somebody's aura and you've saw something really incredible. I'm sure you have some fun stories to tell.
Oh, I think probably the most interesting ones are the people that there's a certain signature that I see that people are star seeds, and again, a lot of times, is somebody that's I've never met before, and I ask them, I say, do you feel like that maybe you come from another place? And there was one fellow, and actually this was on Ocean Shores, and he says, oh, yes, he says, I'm amazed, he says, that you saw that. He says, I'm a Syrian. I'm from Sirius, and I've never felt like I've been getting all these dreams and that. So I think those are the fun things when, people that a lot of times they just, it's like, oh, do I say this to this person, or do I they're kind of like living in the spiritual closet, and it's so much fun, and I enjoy that when people kind of open up and go like, oh yeah, and I've had these wonderful dreams and visions, and I've seen this, and I think that's probably the most enjoyable, that when people open up, that again, that they realize that they're more than just their three-dimensional physical being, that there's more to, that this is just we're just in this body now for, not a long time.
We're souls experiencing the earth in a human body, I think. So,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you want me to go through with the
go ahead. We've got about 8 minutes left. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on. We got the throat chakra, and I call the heart is the crucible between the first three, which are physical, and the throat, the third eye, and the crown or the clown chakra, which are more the ethereal or more of the spiritual. But it's interesting because the throat really is the authentic voice, and it's embracing your soul's lesson of authenticity. And so many people have in this society have what I would call a bite the tongue syndrome. And I see of anything that happens with energy that there are a lot of the throat chakra is not functioning sort of at its optimal, because if you are on that master path, that higher octave, you've got this, you're able to express your true self. There's a lot of, you live in the present. There's a lot of music flows from the throat chakra. Lower octave is more poor communication, bronchial problems, dogmatic, scared But one of the things that all of the information from your personal chakras are actually stored in the throat, and the throat's kind of this area around the shoulders. And that's another thing too, is that in there's Western society here, most people have the have their tension in their shoulders, and I can see that a lot of times with the energy. Then the third eye. Oh yes, the throat is blue. The third eye is the soul lesson of your inner intuition, and this is the seat of higher sight, the pineal gland. Its color is indigo, and at a higher level, this is where you have your intuition, the visit, the clear vision, the imagination. There's attuned to guidance. There's clarity of thought. At the lower octave, it can be paranoia, dogmatic, manipulative, and there's a lot of doubt. So it's getting that really in tune with your intuition. And then the seventh chakra is the crown or the clown chakra, and that is either kind of violet or lilac or white. It's really the connection. It's the embracing of your soul's lesson of oneness with the universe, to know that we're all one. We're just coalesced this energy of universal energy. And one of the interesting things that I've seen with the crown chakra, and again, Shelley likes to call it the clown chakra, because it's really our connection with spirit, with all that is, which is the most joyful thing. It's this integration. It's this light worker energy, higher consciousness. The thing is that the lower octave, there's a lot of indecision, frustration, boundaries dissolve, confusion, ungrounded. It's interesting because I've like to teach people to connect the chakras, and even the eighth, the star chakra, which is again, it's that connection to our true connection to our higher self, is just to imagine that you're running a figure eight around in front of your body, or if you have somebody doing the back, and you're running the figure eight between the eighth, the seventh chakra, and the figure eight crosses over in the heart, goes down to the root at the base of the spine and up again. And that is just such an integrating way of taking the energies. And remember, we're all being holistic. Holistic is being a whole person, an aware person.
Well, that makes total sense, Carolyn. We've got about 3 minutes left, and can you heal chakras if they've been damaged? Is that possible?
Well, healing—it's a question of just of restoring the energy balance. That energy can be brought in, and again, this is a whole program in itself. That yes, you can bring it in. You can have other, like Reiki is very good. I've worked with doing attunements with people and showing them before and after. And it's that what happens with dis-ease is that, remember I said that we have this connection with our higher self, and our higher self is like this prism that feeds the energy to the chakras. With dis-ease, that communication for some reason or another has been interrupted. It's been distorted. It's like the old radio stations in your car where you detune it, and instead of getting the clear channel, you're getting static. So what has to be done in if you're talking about healing chakras, rebalancing them, is getting them in tune with your higher self and that higher purpose, and getting them back on that higher frequency and vibration, if that makes sense.
Sure, that makes total sense. I've got a set of Sofigio tuning forks, And I think they can help as well as crystal bowls can help too, by playing those and thinking positive thoughts. Carolyn, it's been so much fun to have you on today. We've got about 30 seconds left. And could you give out your website again so people could contact you?
It's CarolynWhitePhD.com or ChakraCoach.me.
Okay. Okay, great, Carolyn. Thank you so much for coming on today. And please stay tuned, my friends, to my next hour with Michiko Hayashi from the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today.
Thank you, Ted. Love to all.
Thank you.
Would you?